evening. We're glad that you're here tonight. It's a Wednesday night, and we're used to having a lot of people downstairs to eat, and then for Bible study. Tonight we have four plus me, so we're setting records right now, going the wrong direction. But we started last week a series called How to Live the Blessed Life, and you know, the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5 help us understand how we can live a life that is full of blessing. And remember, the word blessed or blessing is not the word happy. It's a deeper word than that. It means to, when originally meant to be large or long, and the picture is this, is that when we're blessed by God, we have plenty of His love, plenty of His peace, joy, and it's just blessing. And that's why when things aren't going well, we can say we're blessed. And so last week we talked about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about being poor means you're poverty stricken when it comes to spiritual things. And you can't do it on your own. You need God. And that's the beginning of joy, is when you quit trying and you allow Him. Now, tonight's kind of an interesting one because it plays into what we're going through right now. And it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. It's the second beatitude. In the New Living Translation, it says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. In the New International, or the ESV translation, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, one of the interesting things about these Beatitudes is they're almost like opposites, you know. If you're poor in spirit, you get the kingdom of God. If you're mourning, you'll be comforted. And one of the things we learn from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, is that, first of all, God does not expect you to be happy all the time. One of the things we think as people, as Christians, is that if I live for Jesus, then I'm going to be happy all the time. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to have lots of money. But the truth is, the scriptures never teach that being a good Christian means that you have it all. It doesn't teach that at all. As a matter of fact, in this passage, it teaches us that one of the things we need to do is that we need to learn to mourn. And there's a lot of mourning going around right now with this virus. There are a lot of people who are dealing with the loss of things. We'll talk about that in just a second. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 4, it says this, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Now listen to this. A time to weep and a time to laugh. The contrast. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And so in your life, you've got to understand that you can be doing everything right. You can be living for Jesus Christ, loving your wife and kids, and you're still going to have mourning. You're still going to have weeping. It's not all dancing in life. And one of the things I think that a lot of us are having to deal with is that because of this virus, we're having to deal with the loss of a lot of things. First of all, seniors in high school and seniors in college, they didn't even get to finish their senior year with their friends. They don't get to have a graduation like we used to have it. And they're dealing with a lot of loss. There's a lot of teenagers that didn't get to experience baseball their senior year. There's a lot of college kids who didn't get to play their sport their senior year. And that is a loss. And then, you know, think about it. There are many that have lost their job. Did absolutely nothing wrong, but they lost their job, or their job has, the amount of money they get paid has come way down. We've lost sports. Some of us have lost vacations. Some of us have lost mission trips. I'm, is my sister was having her best year in her business, and then the virus lost every bit of the bonus that she had. And so what do you do with that? Do you act like it didn't happen? No. You need to understand that grief, mourning, is essential for your health. It is extremely important when you have a loss in your life to deal with it, to go through it, because only then do you get blessed, do you get comforted. You know, psychologists talk about people who have repression. Repression is when you unconsciously don't think about things that happen to you, such as rape or sexual abuse, something very bad that happened in your past, and you never think about it, and you repress it. And then another term they use is suppression, and that's when we have hurt in our life, and yet we don't admit it, and we don't deal with it. And one of the things that counselors will tell you, that if you don't deal with your past, if you don't grieve, for instance, if you were abused and you don't grieve that, that produces an enormous amount of shame in your life. And the psychiatrist that I have talked to said if you don't deal with it, it'll come out in your life in a very unhealthy way. And so it's very important for us to understand that in order to get blessed, we have to hurt. We have to mourn. It's a healthy thing. Rick Warren said this. He says, if I don't let it out, I'll act it out. In other words, if you don't deal with whatever it is, it will affect you. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 3, it says this. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away. When you keep your sin in, when you keep your past in, it affects you. Psalm 39 verse 2 says, but as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. So in other words, if you don't mourn the losses that you're having in your life right now, you're really going to hurt yourself later on. And so this beatitude teaches us about how God blesses broken hearts. And maybe you're going through some difficult time about what you're missing because of this virus. Maybe you are having to deal with some things you weren't planning on. Well, here's some things you need to know about how God blesses you when your heart gets broken. First of all, number one, when your heart gets broken, He draws us in close to Himself. When your heart gets broken, when your life gets crushed, when you have loss in your life, if you will look, you'll find that God is extremely close. In Psalm 34, verse 18, it says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. What a promise. Yeah, you're broken. Maybe you did lose your job. God's there. He's close. Maybe you're going through the loss of a friend. We went through the loss of a mother-in-law and a mother. And one of the things that we experienced, I experienced, and my wife as well, God was very close during that time. It's kind of like this. When I was growing up, I was playing tennis. And my dad was self-employed, so he was able to come watch me play. And one of the greatest things growing up in my life is I played that sport, I could always count on my dad being close. And as I would be playing, I'd look over there and he'd be pacing and he would be there. Whether I won or whether I lost, he was close. And when I lost, you know, I knew it was going to be okay. Why? Because he was close. If I won, I knew it was going to be okay because he was close. And it's the same way with God. We've got to understand, when times get difficult, he doesn't bail out. Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, he says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 says, our hearts ache, but we always have joy. You know, God is right there with us when we're going through hard times. And so even though your heart aches, you can have joy because God is close. So what I would suggest to you to do is to get along sometime. If you're struggling with your loss, to get along, just think about how much God loves you. And to think about how much He's there for you. And allow Him to minister to you as you go through whatever you're losing. Now there's a second thing that He talks about, or we talk about, is that God grieves with us. You know, one of the things I love about our God is that He's a God that feels our pain. He's a God that understands our pain. And in John chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, you have a picture of God actually crying. And it's the story of Jesus. And remember, Jesus is God in the flesh. It's Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it says this, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. And then it says, then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. You see, even though he knew that he was going to resurrect Lazarus, seeing the pain of Mary and Martha losing a brother, to seeing the friends that were grieving, Jesus emotionally grieved as well. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ, when you hurt, he hurts. In Isaiah 61:1, we are told the ministry of the Messiah, which would be Jesus. And it says this, he sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. And so, not only is God close, he grieves with us when we hurt. We don't have to grieve alone. We are blessed because when we go through hard times, he goes through them with us. So, God is close to the brokenhearted, and God grieves with us. The third thing is so interesting, and it's hard to comprehend right now because we can't practice it, but it's this. God gives us a church family for support. When you go through loss, whether it's loss of health, loss of a job, loss of a loved one, one of the things you need is your church family. And it's so weird to talk about this because the one thing I don't have is my church family. Even on a Wednesday night, I got four people here, and most of them have to be. But one of the things that God does is he designs the church so that when you have loss, the church is your family. Listen to Romans chapter 12, verse 5, 10, and 15. It says this, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. You know, one of the things people think, well, I don't need the church. Well, you do need the church because you are the church. And when you're not here, we're missing a very important part. And because you're a part of the church, every one of us, when we hurt, it affects our body. And so one of the things we need to understand from that Romans passage is we're interconnected. That is the way it's meant to be. When you hurt, when you go through hard times, when you have losses, you have a church family. Then he says, love each other with genuine affection. And then he says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. In other words, we're so connected that when you hurt, I hurt. When you have a great day, I have a great day. And we need to understand that's what the church does. We had someone this last week that went in for a doctor's appointment. Thought it was going to be a worst case scenario. We got together and we prayed for this person with social distancing. The person goes the next day and got a good report. Now, I'm not saying it was our prayer, but that person needed us and needed our prayers. And so the night before, we were all a little anxious. The next next day, we're all happy. That's the way it works. Now, we need to understand that being a part of a church family and supporting each other, two things. We never rush people. You know, it's funny. You can't rush someone to get over it. For instance, people mourn differently. It takes some people longer to deal with the loss of a loved one than others. And I can't look at my watch and go, you should be better by now. You can't rush people. And the other thing is never minimize other people's pains. They may have a pain, and you may be thinking it's crazy, but it's a pain to them. You can't minimize other people's pain. And the church is more than just showing up on Sunday morning. It's sharing life. It's sharing good times. It's sharing difficult times. It's a relationship. And we must understand as we go through these times of mourning, of hurting, that we should never do it alone. And here's my big deal. When this stuff gets over, every single one of us needs to be in Sunday school or what I call a life group. How in the world am I going to know what's going on in your life if I don't even know any more than your name? Our small groups on Wednesday night and Sunday morning are designed for people to be able to share what's going on in their life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so the church is God's vehicle to give us help when we go through loss. The fourth thing, God uses grief, and this is the hard part, God uses grief to help us grow. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts to us in our pain. You know, one of the things we need to understand is that if you're experiencing pain during this time, maybe it's you were looking forward to your kids' senior year in college or high school. You're not getting that now. The real question is, how is this going to help me grow? How is this going to make me better? You see, pain has a way of making us grow if we will allow it to. Proverbs 20:30 says, physical punishment cleanses away evil. Such discipline purifies the heart. When I was a little kid, one of the ways my mom got me out of the street was using a switch, and she would switch my legs. That pain was good for me because I learned to stay out of the street. Another thing about helping us grow is that God uses pain to bring good out of bad. Now, I think the problem with so many Christians, we don't even look for the good. We're mad because our plans are messed up, and we're not looking for what God wants to bring out of it. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose for them. In other words, this not meeting together for it's been over a month now, or a month, that ought to bring some good. I don't know what the good is yet, but I will say this. I was thinking about this today. First Baptist Mount Ida needs to start planning for how we're going to knock it out of the ballpark as soon as this thing's over. With our youth and with our children, we don't even know when we're going to have Vacation Bible School, or if we'll have it, or how we'll have it. But here's the good news. We're going to be ready, and we're going to let God bring good out of the bad. I have this feeling that these teenagers and these kids and these adults are going to want to be together. So we need to be on out front figuring out what we can do. As soon as it's over, we're there. That's the good that can come out of this. We kind of had an opportunity to reset and start over. And then the final thing about helping us grow, God uses pain to prepare us for eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 says, these little troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all our troubles seem like nothing. You know, I often wonder, how in the world did Paul keep on keeping on? They would whip him, they would beat him, they would stone him. And you know, he was focused not on the now, but on the future and the eternal glory. We have to do that. Pain makes us aware that there is a future, there is an eternity, we need to be ready for it. The fifth thing, God gives us the hope of heaven. You know, you hate to think of that way, but we can't lose. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we need to understand that God gives us that hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have died. We don't want you to grieve like others who have no hope. You know, when we went to the funeral a month ago on Sunday of my mother-in-law, we didn't grieve like we had no hope. We knew we'd see her again. And we need to understand that that hope is always there, and that illnesses and death never win. We have this thing called hope. In Revelation 21 verse 4 it says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And I like this part. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Listen, regardless of how bad it gets here, in the future it's going to be better. We're only passing through. We're temporary. And we need to realize that God gives us the hope of heaven. Many people don't have that hope. Number six, God uses our pain to help others. Or it should help others. See, a lot of times we're real selfish about our pain. Oh, maybe my pain, my problems. You know, God wants to use your pain to help somebody else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, God comforts us in all our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. In other words, when you go through something, God doesn't want to waste that. He wants to use it to help somebody else. I like what this person said. He said, your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest hurt. A lot of truth to that. Your greatest ministry, if you're looking for it. You know, if you're looking to help other people from what you have learned through your hurt, through your tears, you will have a ministry. You know, I found this interesting. Someone said, every day, you either need comfort or you need to comfort others. It's so true. Today, you might need comfort. Tomorrow, you might need to comfort somebody else. It is incredibly important for us to understand that God wants to use our pain to help other people. If you've been through what someone's been through, you're a better person to be able to help them through it because you've been there. And then the final thing, God blesses brokenness over sin. And this was kind of interesting because this passage, if you're not careful, you can only use it to apply to what you're missing physically. But it also applies to sin. And you see, God always blesses us when we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin. And when we confess them, He blesses us. You remember that word blessed means just big and large. And when we confess our sins, God doesn't hate us. He just throws His love on us. He throws His mercy on us. And we need to understand that all of us, every sin, when was the last time you were bothered by your sin? Now, people, they like to get bothered by other people's sin. But when was the last time your sin bothered you? I like what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But listen what he says next. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. In other words, your sin ought to drive you to the cross and to change. And if it just makes you sad that you got caught, you're going to miss the blessing. You see, He wants us to come to grips with our sin, to confess it. Why? So He can comfort us. You don't have to walk around with a bunch of skeletons in your closet. You confess them, you leave them, and let Him bless you. Let Him comfort you. And I'm going to close with Psalm 51. It's my favorite one where David, after being caught in adultery, I want you to listen to what he wanted. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins." And then he says, "Wash me from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved what is right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice." You know, God will sometimes break you over your own sins. But the beautiful thing that when you deal with it, he gives you, he restores the joy of your salvation. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new opportunity. And we need to understand that we need to mourn over our sins. We need to mourn over our losses as well. But they all go together. You will not be comforted. You will not be blessed if you don't mourn, if you don't grieve. So right now, whatever you're grieving over, maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a marriage that has failed. Maybe it's a child. Whatever you've lost, grieve over it and give it to Him. And He will bless you and comfort you. Don't live in continual bitterness over the things you can't control. Give them away, be blessed, and be comforted. Let's pray. Father, I come to you, and I know that right now there's a lot of hurt going on. And I just ask that every person would understand that those who mourn, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Help us not to hide our problems out there and give it to you so you will make a difference in our life. That's the way we get blessed. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.